Well, good morning. Welcome to the Be the Edge Challenge Call. It's good to see y'all here today. I'm gonna do some running around on this one. I hope you catch up with me somewhere in here. I'm kind of excited about this topic, but we'll see. We'll see if I get there. We'll leave that in the Lord's hands. I want to talk about missing the truth a little bit, or maybe the fact that that can create what is either pessimism or optimism in our lives. I wish I could see everybody raise their hands here right now. I only got you, David. But I would say raise your hand if you consider yourself a pessimist, or raise your hand if you consider yourself an optimist. It'd be interesting to see. I've discovered that most business leaders tend to lean toward the optimist side of things, and I think there's a reason for that. But I want you to think, do you see the glass half empty or full, the old saying? Do you hear good news or bad news in most statements? If you hear this statement, if you do X, Y good thing will happen. If you don't, then Z, bad thing will happen. Do you get excited about Y, or do you worry more about Z? In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus says this. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly, hear that word, plainly. I love that word. I've missed that word for a long time in understanding this. Jesus begins to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders. He told them this plainly. The leading priests and the teachers and of religious law. He would be killed. But on the third day, listen, plainly he told them this, clearly. But on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. But Peter, who had just heard that plainly, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, which we all never want to hear him say to us, get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap for me. You are seeing things, listen, you're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? You see where I'm going, probably. It's easy to have good people speaking bad counsel to you in times of decision. Just ask Job. Really good people can offer advice, but they may miss the good news at the end. Were they distressed because Jesus' disciples and Peter, were they distressed because he was going to rise from the dead? No, they only heard the first part, or they just didn't understand that part. See, we have to realize no one had ever done that before. It was crazy talk to them. They either missed it because of the significance of the first part, right? They're going to do all this to me. They're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me. They're going to mistreat me. And then I'm going to rise from the dead. They either missed that last because of the significance of the first part, or they ignored it as not really possible. We may do that. 95% of what Jesus did and said was great, and they could kind of grasp it. So they let that little, you know, that they figured he didn't really mean, they let that slide. Whatever the case, they missed the message of the coming resurrection, the main point that made everything make sense at a much higher level. See, the thing that brings cool but disparate parts together in our story, in his story, to a greater level, the whole of Jesus, the whole of him. See, you must have the resurrection. And it's so far beyond all those other parts that he was talking about. It's the divine peace. Here's the challenge today. Don't miss the divine peace. P-I-E-C, I think that's how you spell peace. I before E except C, right? Don't miss the divine peace. That's where you get the divine peace, P-E-A-C-E. Christmas makes no sense without Good Friday, and that makes no sense without Easter Sunday. We have the benefit of looking back through the history of Scripture, church history, the Gospels, Acts. We take that insight, and we project it forward on the fact that we have to trust Him for the whole coming picture of our lives, our world. I went to lunch yesterday with my father. He's turning 91. I took my granddaughter, who's 18, to lunch with my 91-year-old father. In the midst of that conversation, we're talking about God being in control of elements in our life, which is a fun conversation with my dad, who hasn't been that guy for a long time. We had to tell her, Lily, we look back. Dad looks back over 91 years. I look back over 65 years. You look back over 18 years, and you see where God worked. And you put your faith in that God who worked so many things out in your life forward. So she's having to project with a lot less history. Did they get sad about the fact that he was going to rise? No. Do we live like the guy we follow overcame death and rose from the dead? Jesus did rise from the dead, y'all. And at times we live like he isn't who he said. Otherwise, we would live boldly and we would live rightly. Don't miss this. Jesus told them he would rise, but they missed it. They got stuck in the bad news and missed the promise. In our lives, there's lots of bad news, but we don't want to get stuck in it. When Jennifer, my wife, was diagnosed with cancer, and then 2 years later, she went to be with Jesus. That was the promise. That was the good news. Where God is concerned, hear this now, where God is concerned, pessimism is nothing short of sin. Don't be an optimist either. Be a realist. It's just about who God is. Rebuke those lies. Walk boldly in trust and confidence, not in you, not in others, but in him. My life verse is this, Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I know, looking at this screen, some of you are walking through some hard things. God has given a promise. Walk in his promise. Have that P-E-A-C-E, knowing that he is the critical piece in your life and in your story. Now, go be the edge.